spreading their message to millions. Spreading their message to millions. Kiss Talk. Talking Kiss. Kiss fans and Kiss podcast. With your host, Mike from Nashville. Tuck Watts. And special guest, it could even be you. Now here they are, your Kiss Talk crew.
All right, welcome to a very special Kiss Talk. I am in the middle of Kiss Cruise 8, which is very cool, and I have the honor of having a couple of very powerful and attractive gentlemen representing a couple podcasts in the room.
Where are they?
So, to my left, I have Joe Polo.
Hello.
Originator and host of Podcast Rock City.
Hello, good to be here.
Cool. And I have Julian Gill, the host of Kiss FAQ, admin of Kiss FAQ, and more importantly, author of many Kiss books. How many are you up to now?
I don't know. I lost count, but thank you very much.
Absolutely. Very cool. So, I kind of wanted to just kind of dive into the point we're at the Kiss Cruise, kind of review some things, and kind of get a handle on your opinions of some of these things, because I don't get the opportunity, certainly, to talk to one of you, but let alone both of you at the same time. So, this is a very unique scenario. So just to kind of kick off the week, it's been a great week to be a Kiss fan. Last couple of weeks, actually, kind of starting with the release of Spaceman, right?
Sure, yeah.
So if we kind of jump to, let's jump to Andy Moen and Joe DeAngelo did us a fantastic pre-party over the gathering. They pulled off getting Vinnie Vincent in the room to actually put on an electric guitar and get up on stage with 4x Fate and play with them to a few Kiss songs. So I think everybody's probably going to have seen video of this at some point, but generality thoughts. Do you think that was a positive move? Were you happy to be there? And
for
witness?
Andy and Joe, it was.
Yeah.
I think it was a positive thing. I think that they delivered exactly what they said they would, even though there were people saying, he's never going to show up.
Yeah.
And I'm one of those people who just wasn't sure if he was going to show up. I'm impressed by their tenacity, and I have the utmost respect for what Andy and Joe accomplished by getting Vinny there, getting Vinny through the process, getting him up on stage so that he could hold a guitar.
And look good holding that guitar.
And that was essentially all it was. It's a baby step for Vinny to me.
I agree.
In the Atlanta Expo, he walked through the door. Here he walked up on the stage. We're going to find out as fans whether he's capable or willing to do anything further. But as far as the gathering, you know, signed, sealed, and delivered. It was a massive success from my point of view.
He played rhythm guitar. He did not do any soloing. However, I think we all did see that there were a few times where he came out of his box and grabbed that whammy bar and he did something with it near the end of a song. And I was like, and then there was a couple of times where he looked right at the camera and he did that whole Vinnie Vincent face that you, as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, now there's Vinnie.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was Vinnie, you know, and it was like
was
a little shell bust.
Out. He wanted to be the old Vinnie, but he's not ready to be yet.
So you think it's not necessarily ability, but is it more confidence?
No, I'm afraid I think it might be ability too.
Absolutely.
I think that I know that he has concerts coming up in...
That was my next question. The Memphis gig is a month away, basically.
I think that I have a better chance of seeing Julian in New Jersey than I do seeing him in Tennessee.
I sadly would have to agree. But on the other hand, playing devil's advocate, I don't know what the power of the Argentine Olays is going to be on Vinnie Vincent when he went up on that stage and the South American fans went crazy.
Vinnie, yes.
It's something that you only ever see on videos if something was filmed in Santiago or Buenos Aires or maybe even Mexico City. Mm-hmm. But they went mental. That place was steaming. And Vinnie would have seen it from a higher perch than, I was on the vendor wall, so I had a different perspective up there. Well, I wasn't even in there at that time, but it was just, did he feed off that and did that motivate him? But I think the ability thing is the big question mark. If he plays acoustic guitar every day, that's not the Vinny that anyone wants to see in particular. I would rather have that in Memphis. I was happy with the the whole acoustic stories.
Yes, that would have been
good. I didn't need him to go electric.
But people want, I think the problem is that, and it's not necessarily a problem. I don't really, I guess I'm wording this wrong. The deal is that his fans, the and there are, if you hit certain websites or Facebook pages, those fans are not going to settle for an acoustic set.
Right.
They want 30-year-old Vinny that they had, you know, that's what they want. Creatures of the Night Vinny, you know, full shreds Vinny. And I'm not sure, and I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I do too.
But he looked very uncomfortable holding a guitar. But like I said, every once in a while, just came at that shell cracked open, and he bent over and he grabbed that whammy bar, and you can see him doing, like, you know, whips on the string, and, you know, it just, he, but it was just this quick. Had he shred on that guitar at the end of a song or in between songs for 15 seconds, he'd have sold out everything else he has in Nashville left over. That's all he had to do. All he has to do right now is put a camera on in a room that he's in and shred for 15 seconds on that thing, and he'll sell it out. I will do both. I will go to that. I will hop on a plane. I will fly to New Jersey. But I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah. I think that...
Sounds like you're saying it was more of a commercial for the New York Expo.
It seemed like it was... No, it seemed like it was a commercial... Yeah, it was, maybe.
Yeah. I don't think it
helped. Very good, put it that way.
I don't think it helped the Memphis ticket sales. But I want to go on record and say that I'm 100% supportive. I'm not a selector of KISS members, past, present, future, whatever the case is.
Right, I think we all want him to succeed.
I want him to absolutely blow it out of the water.
Yeah, that would be great.
I want him to thrive.
Yeah,
And let me make it clear, I've got tickets for Memphis. I have a flight booked.
Yeah.
I'm flying in for the one show on the 7th and then out because I'd scheduled it all before he announced the second one.
Right.
I'm not flying on to New York because I've seen Ace and that doesn't appeal to me at this time after all the costs.
Right.
This cruise and the Miami Gathering and whatnot. So I want Vinny to do well, but more importantly, I want Vinny to be happy and healthy and at peace with himself and his legacy.
Right. I agree with that. All right, we'll keep kind of topics moving here. So next is the Unplugged Sail Away show and the set list of that show. I think you know, there are always going to be the songs that these guys play acoustic, and that's going to be the songs that they play, right?
Right.
Now, Joe, they did play Lover All I Can. Mm-hmm. They did not play anything for My Baby, so I assume
Thank
you were
Christ.
Okay with that. I wanted to
kind Were you messing with... Didn't you send me a text? Somebody sent me a text saying, hey, I just saw the set list. Anything for My Baby is on it.
Yeah, it was not me.
No. I will tell you that before we get into the whole thing, when it was all over... He and I started messaging each other back and forth going, wow, you know, we were just like, and I wish I could have heard his voice and he could have heard my, because we were like, even in the messages, I'm like, they were like two little kids.
Yeah.
About, no wow, doubt. What did we just see, you know?
We saw the, you know, you and I briefly talked about it, Julian. It was kind of the, sort of an anniversary of Unplugged, sort of, right? Because it was on Halloween and the original came out on Halloween, although it wasn't recorded on Halloween, but... In any case, very similar and a great way to celebrate it, even though that wasn't the intention, obviously, to celebrate the Unplugged aspect. So that moves us into the subject of this, the fact that we had Bruce Kulick step out on the stage, which I immediately kind of went, okay, they can't not bring out Ace, right?
Exactly.
So that was my fault, but I was thrilled, and how can any of us not be thrilled that we got to see, I mean, these guys all at once on the same stage. And who knows if that will actually happen in its completeness ever again. I mean, because down the road, I have no doubt there's going to be a past member or members step on the stage with KISS before all this is said and done. But would it be that combination of guys again? I don't know. I was thrilled to death. You guys?
Yeah, absolutely thrilled. I don't know how you guys feel, but I believe that they did it on purpose, and of course they did it on purpose, but it was to get it out of the way.
I agree with that.
It was so nobody's gonna go, oh my god, I can't believe they didn't get on stage.
Right.
There's no intention, although I got tricked by the four mics on the stage last night. Yeah. I got tricked by that. You know, completely fooled by the four mics. But it didn't take me long to figure out what was going on because Paul was really going back and forth.
Right, and he always kind
of does it. So it was basically so all of us would go, oh my God, I can't believe they did that. However, when we got into my room, me and my roommates and I, all basically, for those of you that are professional writers and English scholars to my left here, nobody expected them to be on stage together until we walked into that show and saw the four mics. But when it didn't happen, we weren't surprised.
Right. I would agree with that as well. So it appeared to me, more so in Bruce's set, because it seemed like Bruce even said this, that I'm not sure that they were aware they were doing that until they actually got here on the boat and were invited up to do that. Did you get that?
That was my understanding from one of the Q&As yesterday, that it happened very last minute downstairs. Right. Now, whether that's one of those stories that you tell in the Q&A.
To make it seem more magical instead of them going, I'll do that for an extra $5,000.
I think it was in the Doc and McGee one that he actually mentioned that like half an hour before they hit the stage, they finalized that they were going to bring them up on stage. Which, for me, as a person who was outside of the United States in 95, I didn't see any Kiss conventions. I've never seen a full live Kiss acoustic set. I've seen the little one at the meet and greet, but to see them out on stage and for them to bring out Bruce and honor that part of their career, which I became a fan during, you know, I was totally thrilled by that whole thing. And then obviously to bring Ace out on stage as well with him and to have them all remain on stage, and Tommy stayed on stage.
Yeah, that was killer.
That was the part that I was happiest about, that they respected Tommy. And that his position is secure, that they didn't tell him to go off stage and have Bruce come on and then have Ace come on, that they honored all three guitarists in one go.
I love it.
And like Joe said, they got it out of the way.
Yeah.
It was one of those things that then they could go through the rest of the cruise and say, well, we don't need to do that now. We've done it.
It's done.
But I think more importantly for me as like the uber geek is the performance, which was why we were giddy. It was very strong. It was powerful.
It was great. It was fun.
They sounded fantastic. And you just said the operative word, Joe. It was fun.
Yeah.
Capital letters.
It was.
And the whole point, I mean, let's be fair. We've been on the boat.
Yeah.
The first thing is always the most exciting.
Yes.
We're here. We've been waiting since February or January or whenever the hell we book. And here we are. And boom, you know, a few hours later, Kiss is on stage in front of us. We're all crammed in here. Nobody's complaining.
Nope.
Nobody's, you know, everybody's passing shots around to each other for the shot. And next thing you know, here comes Paul Stanley. He's funny. He makes fun of Gene so much.
Yep.
You know, and you can see it on Paul's face how much he loves Gene. Gene loves Paul. They all love each other. It's funny. We're having a great time. And our adrenaline is through the roof.
Through the roof.
And then they gave us an adrenaline shot.
And you got you got people from 30-some-odd countries that are all singing along. And, you know, when those songs like Hide Your Heart and everybody is just into it, and you look around and you got all these people that with all these different languages that are all singing, you know, to a song, it's just so powerful. I mean, I just, for a first timer, I mean, to see the energy come off that crowd, I think it has to be somewhat impressive.
Absolutely.
As a side point, I have a very dear friend of mine that is here on the cruise with me. It's Eddie Trotter. He's kind of over here listening at the side, and I just had to bring him into the conversation because it's his first cruise, and I think there's something to be said for the impression and the energy that comes off the people that are here. So
right, but Julian's first cruise too, and that's what makes
true.
And
I just consider, I don't know why, I just like, you already know all
probably
this.
Probably because I review it and post it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Now that my reviews and opinions are going to be legitimate because I'm here participating.
Yes,
so.
Right. That's awesome. And one of the cool things is once you do it one time, you get off the boat, and most people that I talk to. Not all of them they're ready to come back. But some of the people that I talked to are like, oh, I did it. I'm good. And then the tickets are about to come on sale.
Yep.
And even though they're not going to go, they get that VIP, they get that thing that lets them go ahead and book.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, your girlfriend's calling you going, hey, aren't we going to go see Ace? And I'm going, really? I thought we were done. And no, we're not done. We're going to go. Or, you know, and next, you're here. Yeah. You know, you're every time, right?
Yep.
Every time. Eight times.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Yep. Just to, I'm blessed to be able to be here.
Yeah. The acoustic show is amazing. And, you know, everything we'd hoped that this, you know, when the first time you come on the cruise, the first year, people are all going, I wonder who else is on this boat.
Yeah.
This year, they were on the boat. Or last year, Bruce was on the boat. Nothing happened. This year, Bruce and Ace are on the boat, and they delivered at that they point.
Did. Absolutely. So, a couple of thoughts about Bruce played Domino in Hide Your Heart. Ace does 2000 Man, New York Groove. And then, of course, all of them play the last two, Nothing to Lose and Rock and Roll Night. So, could there have been another song? Bruce playing Forever during an acoustic set probably would have been cool, but I don't know of anything else that I would have added in there.
There can always be other songs.
Sure.
I think that's the point of a band that has such a broad catalog,
yeah,
that if you ask 10 fans what would you rather they have done, you're going to probably get 10 different answers
in most cases.
So I don't think about what could they have done otherwise.
Yeah.
I'm actually just satisfied with what they did and how well it worked.
That
for me is more important than trying to second guess and swap songs out of that set.
Yeah, I mean, when I'm standing there, and they're doing this for the first time in however many years, and I'm watching it, and in my head I'm going, well, they're going to retire in 3 years, but they could certainly, every one of these guys could sit on a stage in Vegas and do this together.
That's right.
Two shows a day playing this, or even one show a day. They could do this forever, and no pun intended, and Kiss fans would have a place to go see them. There's not touring. Right. Just saying.
there's still more out there for us. We just don't know what it's going to be.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't even know what the end looks like at this point.
So. Well, at our Q&A.
We just know that the possibilities with Kiss are endless.
Always endless, that right.
There never is a rule book. That, right. This is Kiss. Kiss does whatever it wants, whatever its whims take it. So it's always an open-ended thing, even ends of the road.
Right, I agree. All right, so we move from there. We got to see Ace Frehley do his first performance. Set list opened with Save Your Love. You know, the set list is out there. I think my most notable thing is, of course, I love the band, right? I mean, you got Ryan, Phil, and Jeremy. And, kind of, to me, driving that boat. And the fact that we got nothing that resembled the Ace shows that we've seen over the last 3 or 4 years with his former band that were all very heavy, you know, Ace, Frehley's Comet, and
right,
all that kind of stuff. And we got none of that in this set. And if we want to jump to last night's set, we really got none of that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, was that surprising that the set list had completely been converted?
Well, who in their right mind would have thought that Ace would open up with Save Your Love? And I have a story on that because I was talking with someone who said Ace actually had a vision and said, hey, we've got to open up with Save Your Love. And their response to Ace was, heck yeah, I hope you have some more visions.
Right. Absolutely. And then last night he opened up with Parasite.
Yeah. And expanding on what he said, who would have thought I wouldn't have heard Rock Soldiers?
That's,
you know, I would have thought for sure that would have been in there. It's not a problem that it wasn't,
right,
but it was. I mean, he's on the Kiss cruise, so he made the Kiss, set.
Yeah, I mean, and I know that you've got to give credit to his band.
His band is
who
pushing.
Are as big a fans as we are, and would love sitting here talking this way about the same thing.
Yeah,
and have on some of your podcasts, even.
Right.
So, I commend them for helping Ace along that way and drive that.
I commend them, but I also think you have to respect Ace. They can push Ace all they want, but Ace is the one who ultimately has to do it. And, you know, who would have thought you'd see Torpedo Girl being
Torpedo formed? Girl blew my mind.
With the intro and everything. Yeah. And then last night, Two Sides of the Coin is added, and Bronx Boy. So,
and Dark Light.
And Dark Light. That was on the set the first night. And because they had to cut it short, it got cut.
Okay.
And last night, it was a train wreck, but a beautiful one.
Yeah.
You know, Ace even joked from the stage. We had wind, we had rain.
Yeah.
One half of the boat had the rain. I mean, he was getting soaked up there.
Yeah.
he had his lyrics to his bottom left, and he couldn't see them from where he was singing from. So
he said
he was just doing it from passion and what he could remember.
He said, they put the lyrics on the floor, but I got to look up to sing. He goes, that's smart. My other favorite line was, the rain, he took his jacket off, and he goes, the rain was refreshing, but the jacket was not. And he definitely had a good bit of humor in his set. And everybody just, all my friends, and just kept looking at me like every time he would say something, and I'd be like, Ace. It's Ace, man.
Ace is up there playing in the rain with lightning.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good point.
it was lightning. And it came down during Shot Me, right? So yeah. I actually made a joke to my wife as I was texting her, telling her, hey, this is incredible, and made the Shot Me joke kind of in reference to that. But you talk about, it's Ace, right? What came out of that band was Ace's style, Ace's flair. You know, Ed here not having seen Ace play in several years. I mean, that was one of the highlights of the cruise, he said, was being able to see Ace. Was, I guess, you call it kind of a... Ed plays guitar, so he understands.
Nice.
You know, he said, it's a sloppy Ace. And, you know, our discussion is, well, that's kind of Ace's style. I mean, that's...
Yeah,
and that's not an excuse.
No,
these are songs that he's not been doing over and over and over for the last 20 years. These are songs that he's just basically relearning now, forcing Ace into doing something from the elder that he even would and did is more impressive. So yeah, as a guitarist, he's sloppy and he's looking down at his fretboard a lot, and then he's having to look up at the microphone, and he's having to do an awful lot. Even though he's got a great band behind him, so
and he cannot hear.
Right,
that's
true.
That's another thing.
How many monitors are
there
on stage?
Four monitors around him.
They basically need a 6-foot-tall Alexa to stick him in, you know, and then he'll be able to just have surround sound for his monitor.
You know, I'm a guitar player too, and anytime I explain Ace, I always say there's like this line, and on one side of the line is sloppy, and on the other side of the line is good, and he walks that line.
He calls it his style.
It's just his Ace style. You know, and you know,
he has trouble walking.
He does. But on boom, he says, you know, and then there are people that'll sometimes they compare him to Page, and I go, I don't think he sounds like Page at all. I think he sounds like Ace.
He does.
He's unmistakable. His own definition.
He definitely is. That's agree. And it was so much fun. Just so much fun. Yeah.
Right. So opening night, we got. Kiss Sail Away, we got Ace, and then if you stayed up late enough, you got to see Bruce, and Bruce opens with King of the Mountain, which blows me away, one of my favorite tunes from that era.
Okay, unfortunately I knew that was coming, only because he did it the night before at his thing.
Okay.
However, I wasn't there. I was watching Vinnie Vincent hold a guitar. So I was happy to hear King of the Mountain first, you know, and his band, by the way, does not suck.
No.
They do not suck at all.
They're about as far opposite to that word as you can guess.
Yep, they are blow. No, I'm kidding. No, they are amazing. I mean, just like, it's like, and he, you know, with Todd in that band, you got to wonder, how many hats does this guy wear? He's in about 5 different bands, including Slash's band. You know, he's got Bruce. He's got, I mean, his own band, like a few different bands. He's amazing. Last cruise, he played bass.
Yeah, right.
This cruise, he played guitar, you know. And he sang, and he sings wonderfully.
He does.
And, you know, I don't know him. I had him on my show one time. You know, it's not like I know him or anything. And, you know, I would never, I'm like Julian. I don't toot a horn unless it's deserving. But he's amazing. He really is, you know. And then you walk up and you say hi, and he focuses right on you, and he talks to you, and I'm like, that's just awesome.
Yeah,
you know, it's just pretty cool.
So some other highlights in Bruce's set: he did the Crazy Nights medley, which was cool. Sword and Stone. Any comment on that stuff?
I didn't know that was coming.
I wasn't there. I had flaked out by that point. I knew that some things were coming, but I took it with a grain of salt, and I figured I need to run this marathon. That is the cruise, and I was absolutely fried by that time.
It was tough. It was tough to be
I also know that there are so many video cameras on board that after this is all said and done, I've seen Bruce's band live in Indy, so I felt less pressure on having to see them, knowing that I'd be able to catch up on that one. And then I woke up the next morning and saw the set list and smacked my head against the wall several times.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I love the idea that they threw Sword and Stone in the set and gave it to do. I think it's a really cool song, and it belonged on the album at the time, regardless of what Paul said in one of his events. He said, well, you know, he basically said it's a democracy, and that song didn't make the cut. Somebody wasn't voting right or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just missed that one. I was surprised to see Bruce Kulick's band Do I Still Love You, because it technically wasn't a Bruce-era song except on Live 3, but maybe because Todd can sing it so well and we're probably not going to hear Paul sing that song again. I don't know why, but I loved seeing it. That song really surprised me coming out of that band.
I agree. I thought a lot into it, and you probably didn't think all this, what you just said while you were sitting there.
Yeah.
I just, for some reason, I mean, to me, and I know this is going to ruffle some feathers out there, but to me, every song is a Bruce song. He could play on anything.
Exactly.
He
can. So, without a doubt.
He might not have been in the band when it was written.
Yeah,
but it's a Bruce song. He can do it. He'll make it his own, and he'll either make it his own or he'll play it just like you did it, and he'll make it, you know, his own with that too.
What he gave to Kiss during his tenure with the band, what he gives to Kiss fans when he gives them their time, his time, and he's just so gregarious. He's so intelligent. Mm-hmm. He asked the smartest question in the Michael James Jackson Q&A yesterday.
He did.
So, you know, he should be banned from attending anymore because he makes everyone look bad. But he can play whatever he wants. I say he played on it on the Live 3, that's fine. But you know what? If he wants to play something that he didn't play on ever in Kiss, just because he wants to, then go for it.
Yeah. I mean, he's got the right band to play anything in the entire catalog. So
yes.
That's what's unique. That I'm not sure that you're going to find that anywhere else. Couple other things, of course, they did the Hot in the Shade era sort of Smash and Stretch's hits, right? They'd Rise to It, Let's Put the X to Sex, Rock Hard, very cool. A little medley they did there. Little Caesar, which was dedicated to Eric Carr.
Nice touch, very nice touch.
Yep. Heart of Chrome, which he dedicated to Eric Singer, and there was discussion on the stage there about trying to get Eric to play that, which would be during tonight's show, but I don't see that happening because of the Kiss is going to be playing.
Yeah,
right.
I think the scheduling's a little bit too tight on that.
And then Jungle, All Night, and then God Gave Rock and Roll to You, which I told Ed, but when they introed or going into God Gave Rock and Roll, you know, we'd already had the discussion. I'm just sick of that song for whatever reason. But then they played it, and it's just like Rock and Roll All Night, right? If you ask me if I want to hear it, I don't want to hear it ever again.
Right.
But when the confetti starts blowing and they're playing Rock and Roll All Night last night in the show, I'm having as good a time
singing
as
singing every
guy.
Word.
Yeah, exactly.
Guilty Party as well.
Yeah.
I would never, ever want to hear God Gave Rock and Roll to You in concert. However, when he played it with Pris in L.A., I geeked out. I completely geeked out because he did three songs that night, and he did Detroit Rock City, that I'd never seen Bruce play. So, again, it's all in the moment. It doesn't matter. It's all good.
I'm not really going to say anything about the set list in the first Kiss show last night. I think it was what should be expected. The only thing I think I mentioned was, you know, we've become accustomed to getting that special track on the cruise after the last two or three. We've been pulling out a couple of Elder songs and that kind of thing. But honestly, I mean, again, when you're in the moment, when you're seeing the show, you're enjoying every element of it, and so is everybody else in the room. So I'm not even going to talk about any particular songs on it other than just saying I had a blast. Ed here, who hasn't seen Kiss in a number of years, I don't guess, he had a blast. So I kind of look at Ed and I at separate ends of the spectrum, so to speak. So just generalities, because talking about last night's performance as a performance.
Last year, I have a view on what I think is going to happen tonight, being the second night. So last year, they ended the show with which gave no surprise for the second
right
people. So I'm wondering if they are going to pull something out, they left it out of last night's show to surprise the second night people. Now, the people that are there for the second night aren't necessarily the people that were all there for the second night last year, but I also understand that a lot of those people will sit in their room because it's simulcast on the TV or in the atrium area or wherever they are. It's on every television, and they watched it, and then I came on. They were like, oh, man.
Yeah.
You know? Whereas last night, you know, we heard a hits set list. That's what we heard. And so if they were to throw out an an extra song, something out of nowhere, I would think if they did it tonight, I would go, well, yeah, well, last year I got I. And you can watch that video and hear me geeking out really bad when that happens. Although I imagine everything I said right now, Julian has a different opinion.
Absolutely. But at the root of the question is, last night I went to a Kiss concert. End of sentence, ultimately.
Yeah.
You know, I went to a Kiss concert with 1,250 fans from all over the world, many who I've known for 25 years online and have met in person for the first time during this trip. I was in a wonderful theater environment on a cruise ship, which is another one of those ones to cross off the list. I've seen them in a stadium, I've seen them in a shed, I've seen them in an arena. I've now seen them on the high seas. So for all of those things, I don't care what they do tonight, because I think it really was a test run for the end of the road set. And you have to remember that even if you're expecting a gem, hoping for a gem, you're a fan of Kiss. That means you should like each one of those songs that they performed during the set. There should be songs in there that you're thrilled to have heard. When I've said it on my show and every other show I've ever been on, when I hear Deuce, I'm happy. Signed, sealed, and delivered. That's the first Kiss song I ever heard. It remains the most important Kiss song to me in concert. They played it last night. So what do I have to complain about? Oh, I got to hear Let Me Go Rock and Roll as well. So
that's another good one.
Yeah, so, you know, there are certain points of it that we could pick it apart and analyze it. Go back to watching who you were with, who was next to you, dancing, singing, selfie sticks, whatever. You know, the Kiss concert experience is still what it has to be about, regardless of how you could criticize or dissect the set.
Yeah, I appreciate your positive spin on that, because that's really what it is all about. And Love Gun is my deuce. So as long as they never stop playing Love Gun,
I'm the same way.
For me, it's the greatest lead solo of all time, just because of the way it's all constructed into the song.
Yeah.
So and I recorded just the lead solo, just to have another version of it recorded. But
let me tell you something else that's totally crazy is how Julian's talking about how he came on board and he's meeting people for the first time that he's been talking to for years. Last night, when we all got our seats, there was two people sitting next to us. We asked, they were like, is this usually the way it's set up in here? And I said, yeah, it's your first cruise, yeah. They said, we got picked on Good Morning America the other day.
Oh, that's the couple?
They were sitting in the crowd at Good Morning America. Paul Stanley walked out and said, you're getting on my private plane.
Yeah.
We're going to the cruise.
I saw him do that. That was
incredible. The guy, he whipped out his phone and he starts scrolling through and he goes, she's getting so upset that I'm showing everybody this picture. But it's them with Kiss on Good Morning America, and they were blown away. He's a retired police officer. He had the time. Apparently there was some word out that said if you could drop everything and go to the Kiss cruise, go here. And a bunch of people did. And apparently he gave a testimonial. They all did. Paul walked out into the crowd and just went, you too, let's go. And talking to them about that, my God, that's as amazing as a story as anybody else has.
That's right.
You know what I mean? That's incredible. They were on television. They got on a jet. They got to fly. They got passes. They go wherever they want. They were at our Q&A for Paul. They were at Gene's this, and walk in.
As icing on the cake, we got to meet Joe Polo of Podcast Rock City.
We got
to sit with Joe.
Let me tell you, I'm going to be in full disclosure, I never said I was Joe Polo from Podcast Rock City. I just said, I was just more amazed at what a deal.
Set up an interview with him? What is wrong with
you? That's the first thing I'm thinking. I'm thinking that interview's
okay,
coming.
His wife was very sick, and I did not want to say anything. She was sick. I'm not gonna say their names because she was not drunk sick. She was, I think, food sick. So I wasn't gonna go. Hey, and by the way, I know you're attending to your wife on a time when. However, I mean, to me, what just happened to them? It's like opening up your door and there's the people with the check going. Poster's Clearing House is here. Although I'll take $7,000 a week for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Who wouldn't?
Who wouldn't? I could pay for the cruise every year. However, for real, he just walked up and went, you and you. What?
Paul Stanley has channeled his inner Oprah.
you get a cruise. And you get nice. Yeah, nice. I'm not even gonna step on. That was all Julian Gill.
And Paul threw out a guitar for the first time this year to the audience, which afterwards he looked like he regretted doing.
I hope he regretted it. Yeah. I don't want to see that happen again.
Gene's done it a bunch of times.
Gene's done it a bunch of times.
It's better to grab someone from the audience, have security bring them up, and then have security escort them off. Because then they get a little bit more of an experience, and they're not getting assaulted.
Hurt. Right. I guarantee somebody put their hand right into those strings and grabbed it, and if somebody pulled that thing,
In 96 again. In 96. Previously been a court case over someone whose pinky got pinched by a guitar string that was thrown out to an audience. So that's why after a while he just dropped them on the ground. Yeah. I think we were in international waters by then, so there may have been some...
What would he say? We were international waters, so we can't be arrested for killing a song?
Killing a song, yeah.
Well, let's not kill an audience member with guitar strings either.
I agree.
He even had to say, okay, one of you gets it.
Right, it does not get you the pieces.
It does, yeah.
He was concerned. I could see it in his eyes after
it was almost like a what did I just do moment.
But didn't Gene throw out a guitar? At the Sail Away show.
He does it all the time, though. Yeah, he does it all the time. People are, you know, it's just like, what?
It was amazing. I was on the Gene side, and the crowd pulled me because it collapsed in the middle with Gene's bass. It pulled me over to the middle of the stage, and then Paul throws his in, and then that part of it just collapses, and you're almost like on your heels, barely trying to stay on your feet.
The only other thing I ever saw that was like that, where it was kind of nuts, was the first Kiss cruise when the guy gets on stage. At that point, when they were doing Q&As with Kiss, I'm not sure if they were vetting the questions.
Right, because the guy would just walk up on stage.
The guy walked up on the stage, and he said, something like, hi, my name is Bob, and I just used my whole family's Disney vacation money to bring us here. Would one of you guys send us to Disney? And Gene goes, I will. And he get his name and his number. He sent his family. And then, of course, Paul goes, would anybody like a car? Anybody need a car? So, I mean, having, you know, Gene go, yeah, I'll send you to Disney. I mean, you know, at that point, I was like, in my head, I went, man, I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have asked that question, you know, because it seems like you're...
There's a much shorter answer you can give to that.
Yes.
Security.
Yes, exactly. But he didn't even do that. It was just like, you know, it was pretty amazing. But throwing those guitars out there, wow.
Yeah, that's a little...
You know, if he sat down and pulled a boot off...
you simply cannot throw anything into the audience. You can't even throw wristbands
It's tough even... The pick thing, you know, I mean, people will kill each other over a pick.
They were rumbling over the picks.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I don't mean to hijack your show, but what did you guys think about seeing the costumes in person? Is that on your list?
Yeah, it's a great place to move into.
Okay.
So, yeah, I love the idea of seeing the costumes. Actually, first thing I wanted to do was I want to take some good close-up pictures of the costumes so I can, like, analyze them later just because I wanted to look at the detail. But I love all the new costumes. And seen a lot of criticism on Tommy's, but I'm going to step up and say I love Tommy's new costume.
And it's the back of it we finally got to see as well. You know, and it looked good, and I liked how the boots went up higher and had the lightning bolt going up higher.
I'm happier now I've seen it in person. I still think he looks a little bit like a space dreidel, you know. But he looked good in it. He moved well in it. It worked well in the show. Lights were coming off it. Yeah. So it had the kind of effect that you were hoping to get off a really shiny thing.
That thing in the center.
Yeah,
the center mirror looks like that thing that Indiana Jones puts on the stick. Exactly. And then the sun comes through.
I still love it, though. It's got the blue tone to it. I think it's really cool. And in one of the events that Paul did, somebody asked him about, you know, who creates the costumes and that kind of thing. And I honestly felt like that Paul probably did all of it, but he stated that he did his, and he said he helped Eric.
Eric, right, you know, at the Q&A.
But the other two, he insinuated, designed their own, and, you know, of course,
yeah,
he's
going
to
approve it. Yeah, and jeans, to me, I took as a darker, trimmed down version of like the Dynasty
unmasked yeah.
costume.
All that's missing is a red cape.
Yeah, you saw it too.
I totally saw and then, that. And, but it looked really, it was like Godzilla-ish
yeah.
in the right sense, instead of being that crumpled kind of foil.
And what about
effect.
The...
It was more defined.
It's scaly looking.
Yeah,
if you look at
it. Yeah,
weird
scale edition. Yeah.
And,
it doesn't look like tinfoil.
It looks like something that you'll be able to make out of plastic cheaply as a
yeah.
new bit of merch.
Yeah, and what about his boots? Did you notice that the boots had like small teeth in the front instead of just the big teeth? There were these little jagged...
Yeah, you obviously had better seats than me. So.
He had some little jagged teeth in the front. And I thought that, and I could be wrong because just like anybody else, I'm a huge Kiss fan, but I don't know everything, I, you know, and so I've never seen the little teeth in the front. I do know that, about a week ago, I was talking to somebody online that was at the photo session, and I said, because they only showed the from the waist up,
right.
And I said, do they have new boots? And they were like, my favorite ever. My favorite boots ever. And when I saw them in person, I was like, these are great. Although I'm going to say, yesterday, Paul's boots became my favorite ever. He did. And I love his Love Gun boots.
Yeah, I do like the new boots.
The new boots look great. And even from behind,
cool.
They looked cool, man.
Paul had the full Mad Max thing going.
He did.
My favorite costumes are Paul's and Eric's. And I've been calling Eric Peter repeatedly. And I'm going to be slipping up on that because he, in the photos, had a real Peter vibe in terms of his facial expression.
Yes.
His costuming
yeah.
just was really riffing back to almost the solo, the 78 look that Peter
right.
had in some of those photo shoots. Just as Tommy kind of harkened back to the Love Gun era with those boots of his mixed with the unmasked era and the big kind of
right.
dynamic body shell, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
I think any effort that they can do to give themselves that larger than life look, it is a plus for me. I didn't mind the Dynasty costumes. That was actually the first concert I got to see, so I love the Dynasty Unmasked era, but I never minded the fact that they wanted to present themselves as bigger and just a massive entity.
Right.
You know, it just didn't bother me.
Right. We were kids then too, so
yeah.
we looked. It was amazing.
Things differently, yeah.
Yeah.
I think overall, I think if we asked everyone at the table, your impressions of the costume are probably more positive in person now that we've seen them than they were from the photographs.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Which just don't do them justice.
Right.
You're going to have to wait until you see them in concert or you see them on TV to really get a better feel of how they work.
And still,
it was definitely a big plus.
Right, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step on your toes there, but it still seems to be the only person that really catches shit about it is Tommy, you know, and for some reason. And then when I saw the costume, and my girlfriend leaned over me and goes, I like that. I think he's going to be just,
it
looks stiff.
He's going to get stuff for it because he's still the new guy.
Yeah.
You
got to remember that. The new
guy no, that's
always
true.
Gets
yeah.
the abuse. And
it
Paul
looked,
was joking about that
right,
in
yeah.
concert last
right.
night.
It looked stiffer than it actually was.
I agree, but he moved great in it. You're right. So I do love that the room showed Tommy some love last night. It actually made him smile,
right.
And you know, Paul kind of played up on that, and you could really see in his face that he was really feeling positive about that vibe. Because I mean, obviously, when Ace is in the room, I mean, Tommy's a fan of Ace, but you know, Tommy's heard so much negativity from ridiculous people about the fact that he wears the makeup and he acts like the spaceman sometimes and has to fill that role, but. I felt great for him last night when the crowd started the Tommy, 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 thank you, Tommy, thank you, Tommy. And,
yeah, and that was the Central American fan, and South American
yeah.
fans again who did the Olays
yeah, right.
for Vinny. So I hope that Tommy fed off that energy because
I think
he doesn't deserve the abuse he gets.
No way.
He's got 17, he's given me 17 years of a band that I otherwise would not have been able to enjoy because I was late to the game and being able to see them live. So, you know what? I hope he got something good out of that show and that smile was just him appreciating the moment that he was given
right.
by a segment of the audience, and everyone was applauding. I mean, I didn't
sure.
say, no one was throwing stuff at him.
Yeah, no one was saying, boo, ace,
no,
I gotta have ace.
Know.
So, but, I mean, and this is the quickest way to piss off people that I can think of, the ace people out there, is we wouldn't even have Kiss today if Tommy had not been doing the work behind the scenes in the 90s that
yeah.
we don't even know that he did.
Right.
All the prep work that he did to even get the reunion together and get Ace and Peter where they were capable of going out on the road.
Right.
I mean, people don't understand what that the man has done in his job behind the scenes. So, he's such a good guy. I mean, I've had the opportunity to sit at a bar with him and talk to him like I'm talking to you guys. I mean, he's just a normal guy that respects the fact that,
sorry,
you know, he was given a great job.
He loves the music.
He does. So, but yeah, we were just kind of continuing a little bit on Tommy about just, you know, celebrate Tommy, you know?
Absolutely, I agree. You know, I think the days of you know, I remember going to Sonic Boom, and then he came out and did Shock Me, and, like, a whole row of people turned their backs.
Wow.
I'm going to admit, when he did Shock Me last night, I sat down.
Yeah.
I am not a big fan of that particular song being done, especially while Ace is on the boat. They did dedicate it to the guest.
Yeah. I took it differently than you did.
But when he played it, it's a celebration, again, of what he's doing. I sat down, not as a mark of... It wasn't taking a knee. It wasn't a mark of disrespect towards Tommy. It's that one thing I have a problem with to this day.
Sure.
And you know what? He's in Kiss. Tommy.
Yeah, Tommy's in Kiss.
He can play any song
it's a Kiss
that
song.
He wants or sure. that they call for to be played. I'm not going to walk out. I'm not going to turn my back on him. But I'm just not a big fan of
it's
that.
It's silly. Story. It's still silly to turn your back. It's like...
Yeah,
to me,
I get that.
Like, I never understood that. Like, hey, the show's over there.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I understand the feeling that you get, especially the first time, you know, you see Eric sing Beth and Tommy play Shock Me. Both of those kind of hit me with that feeling. They didn't have to do that. But on the other hand, you've got a great view of that. It's a celebration of what was there. It's a Kiss song. They have every right to play that song. But as a fan that was there in 1977, would I prefer it? Probably I could do without
it. Can't they do Rocket Ride instead?
Look. And me, personally, and I don't know that this is going to... I'm okay with Out of This World. I'm okay with
it. I agree with you. Something off Sonic Boom or Monster.
Sure.
Fascism,
I would have been fine if he would have played that. I like that song. I said it last night when we left. I was like, Shock Me is fine, but I would rather hear Tommy's song, Out of This World. I know it's a spaceman song.
I know it.
And everything, but that's Tommy's spaceman song.
That's right.
And it's so weird. I don't want to be like, well, this is Gene's song. But, you know, Paul walking up and doing God of Thunder, you know, or it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes a little sense if Paul did because he wrote it. But Tommy doing Out of This World would have been awesome last night. And it would have been a deep cut. And Julian would have been like, hey, we're Out of This World.
Yeah, absolutely. Joe, you're the voice of reason today.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right, guys, so like I said at the beginning of the podcast, we're in the middle of this thing. We still got Bruce Kulick to go here in a little bit, second Kiss show, and then pretty much the cruise closes out tomorrow night with Ace playing late, keeping us up really late as we try to have to head back the next day. But I want to thank Joe Polo.
Thank you.
And Julian Gill.
Thank you.
And Eddie Trotter.
Yeah, thank you.
appreciate everybody. Thank you for listening. You guys have a great rest of the week.
Peace.
Kiss Talk is an Into Rock podcast production.